welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
One of the questions that I think we really should ask a lot more. Sometimes we ask it in the wrong context totally, and sometimes we should ask it a bit more. It's just a simple question as to why. All of the stuff we do, the hundreds of thousands of rands we spend on sending teams, the waking up early morning on Thursday mornings to go to intercession, fasting on Mondays and doing everything that we're doing. Why? Why all of that? And I just very quickly want us to just look at a couple of scriptures around that and would encourage you to jot them down, pray through them, read through them. I really would love for us to spend time on them, to speak through them, to expand on those passages a bit. But like Josh says, you know, our time is limited tonight. So I'm just going to drop them, and I would encourage you to read through those passages in this week and pray through them. And maybe before we do that, the first answer as to why is exactly the discussion you were having in your small groups earlier. Why? Because there's something that Christ came and did in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. And He's doing that all over. And I'd love for Him just to, that which He done in my life, to do in somebody else's life. In the same way that I'm so thankful there was someone who was praying for me. Someone who came and spoke to me. Someone who came and shared with me. Someone who invited me. Because if they hadn't, this is where I'd be. God wanted to move in my life, and as much as God moved in my life, He used one or two people to do that. And tonight, as I'm speaking about missions, I'm not only talking about going to India or Nepal or Malawi or wherever. I'm also talking about going across the room, across the passageway, across the road, across the hall, whatever it may be. And the first one is because simply, it's just about love. John 3, I think a passage we know really well. As Moses lifted up the serpent, just very quickly, there's an Old Testament story, a really beautiful story about the Israelites had messed up and there were snakes all around and these snakes were biting people. And as these snakes were biting people, they were dying pretty quickly. And they went to Moses and they said, Moses, we know we've messed up. Can't you pray and ask God to heal us? And Moses said, sure, I'll do that. And he went to God and God said, yes, of course I'll heal you. That's what I do. What I want you to do, Moses, is just make a big bronze serpent, a snake, put it on a pole, lift it up really high. So if anybody looks at that pole, they get healed immediately. And Moses did that. And immediately when people looked at that pole, they'd get healed. And as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, Scripture says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Jesus must be lifted up on the cross, obviously, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And I think that's so important for us to remind ourselves of, that the idea is never for us to go and to bring people to a place of feeling really bad. But it's for us to carry this message that Jesus really loves them. And as much as they're busy throwing away their life, messing up their life, whatever it may be they're doing, that there's a God up in heaven who loves them and has a better way. And we want to invite them to that way, hold before them that there is life and life in abundance. And it's not so much about our love for them as much as it's about Christ's love for them that He pours into our hearts. John Piper says so beautifully, missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is just an outflow of a love relationship with Christ, and mission is there to invite people to that relationship. Worship would be the outflow. If the whole world was worshiping, we wouldn't need missions. But there are a whole bunch of people who, as someone said earlier, don't know that there's a good God who loves them. God holds before us the invitation to carry out that message. The second point, why, is ties into that first one, Acts 4, verse 12. think this is probably the most politically incorrect verse in the whole of Scripture. And there are a bunch, but this is right up there with him. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I think Michael alluded to this in sharing around Malawi. The fact that there's a whole broken world out there and Jesus is the only answer. As much as we'd love to say that there are a whole bunch of other answers maybe because they would just be nicer and it would be easier. Scripture's pretty clear. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What does the salvation thing mean? I want you to imagine somebody swimming in the ocean and getting washed away by a tide. They're swimming and eventually their leg stops cramping and starts cramping and start getting tired and you're at the point of drowning and death and it's right at the end of what you can muster by yourself and you know any moment now I'm going to drown. And along comes that little NSRI lifeboat and pulls you out of the water. You know what's happened right there? Salvation. You are on your way to death. Maybe you knew it. Maybe you didn't know it. Someone came along and saved you, delivered you. That's exactly what Jesus wants to do in all of our lives in such a powerful way. And there are a bunch of stuff that he needs to save us from. He needs to save us from the penalty of our sin. I remember when I was still involved in academia, did some research, and one of the things that's really interesting worldwide, there's some really great surveys if you're into this type of stuff. Get hold of the World Value Survey. It's a survey that gets done in a whole bunch of different countries across the world, and they have quite a big sample size of up to 2,000 people per country, and a whole bunch of different countries, and since the 1980s, they've been asking these same questions so you can sort of track trends in people's values over time. And anyway, one of the things that I fished up out of that data set is that the majority of people in the world today believe in an afterlife, believe that if I were to die today, it's not the end, it's something else happening. If I remember correctly, it was about 80% of people believe that in the world today. Here's a crazy bit. Only half of those same people who believe in an afterlife believe in the possibility of a hell. In other words, those of us who believe in an afterlife, in our mind, it's an utopia. It's going to be better. We don't understand, maybe in church, we don't speak about this enough, the reality of judgment and hell, eternal separation from God. We need to be saved from the penalty of our sin. Then we get saved from the power of sin in our lives. The sin that some of you maybe spoke about this a little earlier. I struggled with this for so long in my life and then God came and he broke that power. He set me free. The power of sin. And in heaven, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Sin's not going to come near us anymore. But Christ is their only hope. He's our only hope. Why do we do all of this? Because we believe in that. Why do we go? John 17, it says so beautifully. Jesus speaking again, he says, I've given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I did not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them while they're in this world from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then watch this, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Go back just a couple of verses that we read. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And then read verse 17 here. Sorry, verse 18. Jesus speaking, God, as you sent me into this world, in that same way, I send them. Not to bring salvation to all of mankind, not to die for their sins, but that in a way and in a sense, through them, the world may be saved. And I'm going through this really quickly, as I said, but I just want to drop these things here. Then a last verse, last passage that I would like us to read. The whole of 2 Corinthians 4. Really beautiful passage, and just brings the heart of Paul in missions across so powerfully. And he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What is this treasure? This light of the knowledge of the glory of God that's shining in our hearts. We have it in earthen vessels, that the in pots of clay, things that are going to die one day, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, all of the stuff we're suffering, this little bit that we're suffering, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. There's so much in this passage. So much. We could really spend a lot of time talking around it. But right at the end, Paul brings us all together and he says, you know, all of the stuff we're going through, all of these sufferings, and go look at the life of Paul, it'll place in context what he means, light afflictions. He'd been dead 3 times by this stage. He'd spent a night in the deep. I was telling that story just now about some guy drowning. He'd spent a couple of nights at sea treading water. He'd been whipped, so the same whipping that Jesus had, he'd received at least 3 times. A whole bunch of stuff had happened to Paul at this stage. And he said, it's a light affliction. It's a little bump on my shoulder. And here comes, because it's working for me, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Everything that happens on this earth is temporary. I don't know if you've noticed that yet. Life is just a whisper. It's a vapor. It's here one moment and it's gone the next. But Paul says there's something so powerfully eternal about embracing the cause of Christ. That not only is it exceeding everything on this earth in the scope of magnitude, it's eternal, where everything on this earth will one day come to an end. The weight of glory that this ministry is working for us carries on forever and ever and ever. And I believe that's an invitation Christ invites us to be part of. For those of you who are visiting, it's great having you visit us here. But for those of us who are part of this church, I don't just believe it's something that Christ's inviting us to be a part of. I want to say to you that I believe for us as a church, it's something that Christ expects us to be a part of. And as such, I expect us to be a part of it. I expect you to be a part of it. We've got a bunch of missions teams coming up at the end of the year again. I expect all of us to be part of it. I understand all of us can't necessarily always go. But if we're not going to be on the going side, then we're going to commit to wake up and pray for those people who are going. If we can't go, we're going to commit to help finance those people that are going. There's a whole world out there that needs salvation. God's not looking for a church to get together, and I don't believe by God's grace that we are. But I don't believe God's looking for a church who comes together and has great gatherings like this on Sunday and have great small groups. I believe God's looking for a church that's committed to what He's committed. And there are a stack of scriptures, you know, we could have put up here that He came to seek and to save that which was lost, that Christ did not come for the whole and the healthy. He came for those who are perishing, because a whole person doesn't need a doctor. He uses that analogy. And over and over and over, the Son of Man came to destroy the work of the devil. You know, the whole world out there who, as Mason shared earlier, don't know there's a God who loves them. By out there, I don't only mean in Bangladesh, I mean across the road from us. I believe as a church, God wants us to commit to across the road and across the planet. And we're going to continue to do that, and I want to invite everyone to join us on that. It's going to look very different all over the place. Some places we're going to be doing children's ministry. Some places we're going to be doing elders conferences, like we did in Malawi. The youth ministry in Berkeley East. Some places we're going to be helping people to find places to stay. Some places God's going to use His church more and more, and we're going to use incredibly skilled people to solve incredibly intricate natural problems. But at the bottom of all of that, you know, water supply issues and housing issues and traffic issues and all of those things, right at the bottom of all of that, do you know what there's going to be? An understanding of Acts 4 verse 12, that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We've got a whole bunch of doctors here. We're going to be doing more and more medical type missions. Yes, we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to lay hands on the sick and God's going to heal them. But God's also going to use doctors to do that. To go into situations with a heart of the salvation of souls. To step away from it. I loved what everyone said they experienced. And Quibus' little, not his poem, his rhyme. You know, step away from this Gauteng vibe that we have of our comfort. And trust God to step out of our comfort zone and into the zone where life happens, which is 99.9% outside of our comfort zone. There's a little Facebook picture that, I don't know if you guys have seen that. My comfort zone, where life happens, you know. Two distinct circles. So for those of us who are in this church, I want you to go home and read and pray through these scriptures and then start saying, God, okay, God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to go? When do you want me to go? Because God, one thing I know is You've already said go. I think He said it in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Go, therefore, make disciples. Sometimes we read that as stay, therefore, until God says go, and then I'll go. No, maybe we should read it as go, therefore, unless God says stay, and then we'll stay. At the end of the year, we're going to be sending teams to Rwanda again. We're going to be sending a team again to Durban. Some of you would have been there in your BC days in a party, one of the biggest parties in the country for a week. 30 or 40,000 people coming together to get drunk and to get high and to get what else they shouldn't. We're going to just be there, not to condemn anyone, not to tell anybody how bad and how dumb and how stupid they are. Most of the time when we're unsaved, we know we've been bad and dumb and stupid. We just don't care. Just someone being sent. Someone with an understanding that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So can I just reach out a hand of love towards you, pray with you, support you, encourage you? We're going to be sending teams to India. We're going to be sending teams, you know, all over the place. It's just crazy how God's knocking doors open. We must get our teams ready the moment that war in Syria stops. Somebody's got to be on a plane and go sort out that mess. Because you know something we don't get in the media here? Is the biggest onslaught in Syria at the moment is on the Christians. In Egypt, it's the Christians. There's a whole bunch of other stuff we see just in this week. One of the oldest churches ever made, ever built, was torched and destroyed in Syria because it's a Christian town and people moved into the Christian town and just flattened the whole Christian town because it's a Christian town. And as the church, I believe that in South Africa, God's creating a little vacuum of safety for us. But you know, that doesn't mean it's a vacuum of safety for us to sit back and say, oh, this is nice. It's a place where we can come and breathe and get strong so that we can go again. For the sake of the Church of Christ across the nations. And I want to invite all of us to be a part of that. Because I believe that's what God's calling His church to at the moment. I had a really important meeting this week with, I just happened to be an onlooker, with some of the top lawyers in the country and some of the top leaders of entire church movements coming together and just being honest about the fact that, you know, as much as we love having church, we're not in a good space in South Africa. That right now people are on the verge of getting arrested and being pulled in front of the Human Rights Commission for just doing what I'm doing today. Just saying some of the stuff I've said today. We understand that there's some fights that need to be fought all across South Africa and across the world. It's time for us as a church to begin to stand up around that. And I don't mean us as a church, a couple of hundred people that would gather here. I mean the Church of Jesus Christ across the nations. So I'd like us all to stand this afternoon, this evening. Maybe just one more thing. Some of you are sitting here, man, it's so cool. I want to go on missions and I want to go across the room and I want to go and pray with that guy, but I just don't have a clue where to start. How do I pray with someone to get saved? How do I pray with someone to get filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit and just start praying in tongues? How do I pray for someone to get healed? How do I share that discussion I had a little bit earlier? How do I share that with someone? I want to invite you on the 5th of October. We've got the Share Seminar. And we're going to just give you some tips and help you around some of those things. Saturday morning, and we're just going to spend time about how do I share that which Jesus has done in my life. She's called me to be a witness. He's asked me to testify for Him and for His glory. Some of you need to diarize that date as a matter of priority and say, 5th of October, I'm going to learn to share what Jesus has done in my life. Well, let's pray together. Father, I want to thank You this evening for this incredibly special bunch of people, God. Thank You, God, for the privilege of being part of this house. And Lord, that tonight as we just look back on the last couple of months that, Lord, there's so much that You've done, Lord. So many people that we've been able to send, that we've been able to pray for and support financially, Lord. God, we thank You just for a church that's committed to that which is on Your heart, Lord. But as much as we know we are, Lord, we also know there's so much room for us still to grow. And I pray, God, for all of us, God, that You would stir in our hearts, Lord, that passion for Your name, God. God, I even sense You're speaking to some people tonight, Lord God, about doing internship next year, Lord, about coming and just serving for a year, Lord, whether about missions or worship or students or whatever, just taking time off and just giving a year for Your name and for Your glory, Lord. Lord, even some people tonight, God, as You're stirring in their heart, Lord, to get ready to go towards the end of the year, Lord God, to go on December, to go to the teams, to Guinea and to India and Rwanda, to Durban and so many other places, God, that You're opening doors there. People inviting us say, come, we need You. God, we're wanting to go and I pray that You would raise up harvesters. You would raise up laborers, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, as a church, we just want to say yes to Your call, God. We know it's a call to uncomfortableness. It's a call to stepping out from that which is nice and our couches and our warm beds and our warm showers and our nice meals, Lord. But Lord, there's stuff that's so much more important. And as a church, we're saying yes to going across our room, going across the passage, and going across the planet, Lord. In Jesus' name. I just want to give you a moment. If God's stirring in your heart something specific, maybe something we've just spoken about or prayed about, maybe God's just reminding you of something, or you just experience Him speaking to you throughout the service, I just want to give you a moment or two. You just respond to God. Just acknowledge what He's doing in your heart and say, God, I hear you, God. God, I want to say yes. Whatever you're saying, God, I'm saying yes because I'm saying yes to you, Jesus. Someone here, you're just thinking, but what if? And you're just seeing all the problems and all the red lights already, and God's just saying, look away from that and just look at my eyes. Keep your eyes fixed on me, the author, the finisher of your faith. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and just keep praying. Perhaps there's someone here tonight, you're saying, Philip, it's great going to the end of the earth, to Kazakhstan, to bring someone to a relationship with Jesus. But right here tonight in Pretoria, if I'm honest, I'm not in a relationship with Jesus yet. Heard about Him much, maybe even been to church, maybe never been to church. Never had that moment, I've never had the experience where He came into my life and He washed my sin away. And I know that I've been saved from the penalty of my sin. Tonight I want to invite Jesus to take that sin away. I want to acknowledge Him as the Son of God. Surrender my life to Him. If that's you tonight, while every eye is closed, all our heads are bowed, I just want to ask, if that's you, I'd love to pray with you. Wherever you're standing or sitting, don't you just want to raise your hand and say, Philip, that's me, please pray with me. Tonight I'm going to make right with Jesus. Anyone else, you can just slip up your hand. Amen. Thank you. I know we've been long. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. Pray for those special people now. The band's going to minister softly in the background. If God's speaking to you, I just have a sense in my heart that for a couple of people here tonight, this is a really significant moment. And you know God's speaking to you. Just take that moment and do business with God tonight. So the band's going to minister to us. You're welcome to hang around and sing and worship with Him. More than that, I just really sense there are a handful of people that you know, just as you're standing here, this is a defining moment in your life, but you don't even know how defining it is. God's speaking to you about stuff that's so intimate and so powerful to you and to Him. Don't brush it aside. Take the time and allow Him to minister to you. And if you need prayer in whichever area, feel free to come forward. We're going to pray with you. If you raise your hand now and you want to make right with Jesus, come forward. We're going to pray with you. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we're going to pray with you. You heard tonight, we serve a God who heals.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. Our strong Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.